It's hard to pinpoint the biggest hot spot that we ought to be paying attention to, Paul Sweeney. Luckily, we have Jack Devine here to go through them all with us. He is the founding partner and president of the Arkin Group, also former chief of the CIA's worldwide operations, joining us here in our Bloomberg Interactive Brokers studios. Jack, we love having you. Thank you for being here. I want to start with Venezuela because a lot of people are pinpointing the fact that it's become sort of a proxy location for a battle for supremacy between Russia and China on one hand and the U.S. on the other. And I'm wondering, from your perspective, how valid is it to view the conflict in Venezuela currently through that lens?
Lisa, as you know, I'm a cold warrior, unreformed, if you will. And if you stay in a game long enough, it repeats itself. So when I look at Venezuela today with my background, having spent so many years in the struggle with the Russians and the Cubans, I mean, this is a very familiar pattern. You know, they see a vulnerability on our flank and in our sphere of influence, and they push it for maximum advantage. Now, I think most Americans haven't been following over the past several years just how important Russia's financial support has been to Venezuela. And on, again, the professional side, the part that I'm quite familiar with, having supported the Cuban intelligence group and being able to monitor the opposition and how to counteract, it's very reminiscent of the Cold War. Having said that, the second part of that play is we have always resisted those adventures into this hemisphere. And the strong action of sanctioning Venezuela is all part of this bigger chess game. And I do think we have to keep Russia and Cuba from gaining another foothold in the region.
So, Jack, given your long experience in that region of the world, what is your sense of how this plays out? It seems like when the there is a lot of support for, we have two presidents now. I mean, I guess my sense is just very quickly, how do you think this will play out?
I think it's a very complicated situation. We tend to underestimate how far a country has to fall before there's an eruption of a regime change. So when you look at the dynamic, I mean, the inflation in Venezuela, the shortages of goods, the lack of sufficient protection for the citizens, the autocratic nature of the Maduro government, they're at a very low point in the process. That doesn't mean that it's going to be resolved quickly. Actually, I was reading an article today in which one of the opposition leaders said, one of our vulnerabilities here, if we think that this is a short game, we're probably going to be, you know, we're going to dissipate our energy. So this is a sustained effort. I don't think it's over anytime soon. And as you know, the key, or at least many analysts would say, the key is where does the military come down? But the military is not a united monolithic group. You have military leadership, and then you have the private and sergeant that's living with inflation shortages in his family. So the military doesn't have a lock on it. And the question is, at what point in this process does the system break? And it is, I don't want to say it's a game of chicken that diminishes it, but this is going to be a move and counter move, I think, for some period of time. Over the long play, Maduro goes. Not sustainable.
I want to shift gears a little bit. The way that we get a sense of how to engage most effectively is through our intelligence operations, both in Venezuela and elsewhere in the world. And I want to just check in with you about something that we've talked about over the past few years, which is morale at the CIA right now, given the fact that we still are getting leaks about things out of the CIA and the fact that there does seem to be some dissonance, disagreements within the administration right now. Can you give us a read? How are things just internally?
My experience in the agency is that morale is often directly correlated to how important the agency is in the scheme of things in our policy and how much is an administration using the CIA. That is really the ingredient. As a population, it's probably split 48-52 Republican Democrats switching is part of America. So it's not so politicized in that regard. today, whether you had a Republican president or a Democratic president, the CIA is a really critical piece of the action. So I, at the working level, as opposed to we're seeing it played out some policy level disputes, but the rank and file is more interested in doing the job. Now, at the policy level, I mean, the mission of the CIA, engraved on its wall, and we've talked about this before, its product is to just tell the facts the way they are. And when it gets in trouble, it deviates from that. So policymakers need to understand that and live with it. And the best ones understand that that is a strength. And so I think looking at the situation today, I think, you know, everyone's looking that there be a fight between the intelligence community and the policymakers. I think that's not good for this country. And I think over time, good objective intelligence prevails, and most presidents eventually succumb to the importance of relying on it.
So how the you're saying that the some of the commentary from President Trump and the administration denigrating the intelligence agencies, you're thinking your sense is that these agencies can withstand that, certainly in the near term, focus on the longer term?
You know, I may be an optimist, but my experience leads me to believe that truth does prevail, that reason does prevail. And I think when you look at the assessments, you know, there's things that are said in the public forums, other things are said in the back room. I don't think the intelligence, I'd be shocked. No, let me put that differently. I know the intelligence community really considers Iran an evil empire, right? It's, you know, my career, I was in charge of Iranian operations at one point. There's no school of thought inside the agency that Iran is a good nation and a part of the Brotherhood. So I think the dispute is whether or not the specific ingredients of the treaty worked out with them on nuclear development is being adhered to. And I think the sense is it is. They would point out, if pressed, and I believe it's probably even in the record, that, you know, this is not an ironclad agreement, the nuclear agreement. So there is room for developing missiles. There's sites that can't be worked. Yeah. So it's not as clean as maybe portrayed publicly. So I think the CIA is very much aware about all of these things, and they understand the motivations. But if you look at the technical point A, point B,
yeah,
they haven't broken it.
Jack Devine, we love having you on. Thank you so much for being with us. Jack Devine, founding partner and president of the Arkin Group, also former chief of CIA's worldwide operations, author of Good Hunting, A Spy Master's Story. Really interesting to get this perspective, because the intelligence community is so pivotal in national security and has been under a lot of scrutiny of late.